Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In dealing with the subject of the Christian and his giving from Romans chapter 15, we covered on the broadcast yesterday what are some of the wrong motives for giving to God. And they are, number one, to obligate God by our giving. Number two, to impress men with our giving. And number three, to gain influence in the church by our giving. If any of those motives are involved in your giving, you need to confess them as sin and ask the Lord to remove them. And it's possible, of course, to have mixed motives, to have motives that are partially right and partially wrong, maybe even 80 or 90% right, but still to have some secondary motives that are lingering around the corners. And so if any of these motives are involved in your giving, they need to be completely banished. You need to recognize them as wrong, acknowledge them before God in prayer, in confession of sin as wrong, and ask God the Holy Spirit to remove them completely from your mind. You do not want to endeavor to obligate God or to impress men or to gain influence in the church by your giving. Well, what are some of the right motives for giving? Well, number one, our giving ought to be an expression of love and gratitude. Romans 15:26, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors, for if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Twice in these two verses, Paul says that these Christians were pleased to give. They were happy about giving. They were thankful for the opportunity to give, to express their love to God, and to express their gratitude to God, and to express their love to the Jewish Christians, and their gratitude to the Jewish Christians for having sent the gospel to them initially. And so, a right motive for giving is as an expression of love and gratitude. We give to God out of gratitude for all that God has given to us, which is far greater than we could ever return. And so we're not trying to balance the books. We're not trying to make an equal return for what God has given. We acknowledge that that is totally impossible. But we want to express our gratitude, a token of our gratitude. And that's all it is, just a token of our gratitude. And as you and I both know, sometimes those tokens of gratitude are far more meaningful than the big things. At least we find that to be true in our own lives. My wife and I came back from a missions trip to the Philippine Islands not too many weeks ago now. And I brought back a number of gifts from various believers there. But I suppose the one that touched me the most was a little keychain that had been hand-carved by a young lady in the Philippines. It wasn't a very expensive gift. It didn't cost her much in the way of money. She didn't have any money. It had, however, cost her quite a bit by way of labor. It was a labor of love. She had carved this thing down. She had painted it. She had put some kind of protective sealant on it. had attached a little bit of the hardware to make a keychain out of it and gave it to me in gratitude for my ministry of God's word to her. It was an expression of her love, an expression of her gratitude, and I came away with a great sense of gratitude, a great sense of fulfillment, because I recognized in that little gift a genuine expression of love and gratitude. She didn't have much as far as this world's goods are concerned, but she wanted to express her gratitude, and that's what we do in our giving. Whether we have little or have much. If we have much, then our expressions of gratitude to God, of course, need to be much larger. If they're not, then they don't express very much love or gratitude, do they? If you are a millionaire and you can only manage to give 10 bucks to the Lord on Sunday, then something's wrong with your love to God and your gratitude to Him. But if you are a teenager that is trying to earn a little bit of extra money to put away for college, and you put 10 bucks in the offering played on Sunday, that probably expresses a great deal of love and gratitude to God. It's not the amount, but it is the expression. It is the motive behind it. And the amount will tell us something about our motive when we weigh the amount against what God has given to us. So the teenager who's maybe only managed to earn 40 or 50 bucks in a part-time job, putting $10 in the offering plate is expressing a great deal of love, a great deal of devotion, a great deal of gratitude to God. Whereas the millionaire whose income this week just from an uptick in the stock market could amount to tens of thousands of dollars in 1 week. And all he manages to do is to put $10 in the offering plate? We know that's not an expression of much love and gratitude. So, our motive is, number one, is an expression of love and gratitude, both to God and toward others who have ministered to us. And number two, it can represent the discharge of a debt. Verse 27, again, Romans 15, 27, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. There is a debt that Paul mentions here. He is saying that the Gentiles have incurred a debt to the Jewish Christians because the Jewish Christians ministered to them in spiritual things. In other words, they sent the gospel to them. Here's Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles, but who is Paul? He's a Jew. He's a Jew. Now, of course, the Jews have a great debt of gratitude to God, and the Gentiles do as well, but the Jews have a great gratitude of debt to God for having favored them with so many spiritual blessings, having given them the covenants, and given them the promises, and given them the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and all of the many blessings which God gave to them, and given them the Messiah, who was a Jew, who came first to the Jewish people. And such a tremendous debt that the Jews owe to God. But now that Christ has come, and God has broadened the stream of mercy out to the Gentiles, it was the Jews who were the instruments of God to take the gospel to the Gentiles at first. Had to be. The Jews were the first Christians. If any Christians were going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, it had to start with the Jews. If the Jews had never broken out of the traces and had never been willing to cross those racial boundaries and brought the gospel to the Gentiles, then the Gentiles wouldn't have the gospel. But though they were a bit reluctant at first and found it difficult at first, they did that. The Jews began to break out of the traces and to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles now have received the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ at the hand of the Jews, by the mouth of the Jews, by the financial gifts of the Jews that enabled the first missionaries to go. And so, in doing this, there is a debt that has been created. It pleased them also, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them, that is now the needy Jews, in material things. Isn't that interesting? Discharging a spiritual debt by a material gift. But how else would you do it? You say, well, you could do it by ministering to them spiritually. Well, if you had opportunity and that were the need, of course you could. But that doesn't happen to be the need right now. They have the gospel. They don't need the gospel. It has come to them in great power and in great measure. They've got the gospel in greater measure than the Gentiles do. But they are persecuted for Christ's sake. They are poor because of Christ. They are receiving persecution from their fellow unbelieving Jews in a way that the Gentiles have not experienced, because the Gentiles are not Jews. So, what do? You say, I acknowledge that I wouldn't be a Christian today from a human standpoint if those Jews hadn't sent the gospel to me. I'm going to help them out in their time of need. And so there's a reciprocity here. There's a return. There's a recognition, first of all, that there is a debt. And our first debt is to God. How do we discharge that? Well, again, we can't in one sense, but in another sense we can. How? By giving what God has given to us back to God. And the way we give it back to God is to utilize it in the work of Christ's kingdom. And some of that's going to involve our money. Some, of course, is going to involve our time, our talents, our other resources, to use them in service to God. But it certainly does not bypass our money. God has blessed us. God has been good to us in so many ways. So we recognize that debt and we discharge that debt. But how do we discharge it? By giving it to other men where it is appropriate. And here's a particularly appropriate avenue: to give to the Jews to whom the Gentiles were indebted. And that's what we do when we worship the Lord with our giving through our local church, which is where it certainly ought to begin. We recognize that some of that money is going to go, for example, to pay the salary of the pastor. The pastor whom God has used to speak God's word to our hearts. Now, in one sense, we are indebted to God. That's certainly where our first indebtedness lies, toward God, but there's a human side of that debt too, as this passage in Romans 15 makes very clear. And so, and we can discharge our debt in both directions at the same time. In our giving, we are giving to God, but God doesn't take our money to heaven. God certainly doesn't need our money in heaven, though he expects us to give it as an act of worship and gratitude and love toward him. But we give it to our church, and it also becomes a way of expressing our love and our gratitude and our recognition of a debt to the one that God has used to speak his word to our hearts. And so we acknowledge the debt to God and to men, and we respond accordingly. We discharge our debt by giving in the appropriate way. And that's a right motive for giving. Don't have a wrong motive in your giving, but make sure that your motives are honoring to the Lord. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.